All right, everybody, 10 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock, and every Friday we sit down and chat with gubernatorial candidate Bob Stefanowski. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Good morning, Lee. How's your gas tank doing? Filling it up when you go, or are you rationing?
I'm rationing. So I have a truck similar to your truck. My truck is a little nicer. Appearance is a little bit nicer than
yours. Yeah, but the tailgate doesn't work.
Yeah, if anybody knows how to fix a tailgate, I desperately need a tailgate to come down because I need to take my lawn equipment to the shop. So I got nothing. But yes, I have another older car, which is even nicer than my truck, that I drive now, Bob, because my truck gets such terrible gas mileage. I drive the car because it gets slightly better gas mileage because it's filling up your gas tank stinks.
You know, I filled up the other day. I don't know whether it's my credit card is over its limit or that the pump had stopped at $75.
Oh, yeah. I think credit cards do that. Yeah, sometimes.
The gas prices are so high, yeah. I couldn't even fill up my tank. Yeah. I didn't have enough credit limit.
Maybe Amy bought a lot of stuff on your credit card. It's over this limit.
Well, that's always true. Does that ever happen with you? You go to charge something and your wife bought something and you didn't realize it. That's happened to me.
No, my wife doesn't get anywhere near my credit cards. I'm sorry.
Oh, your own.
I got my own.
That's a better solution. You know, but all kidding aside, we should get rid of both of these. Governor Lamont got rid of one of the two. There's an excise tax and this gross receipts tax. We should get rid of both of them. And even that's not a ton of money, but at least that's 50 cents a gallon. And, you know, this temporary thing through the end of June, that's exactly when people are going to start to need the gas tax relief when the summer happens. We got a $300 billion surplus. Why not extend it through the end of the year and give people some real relief? It just doesn't make any sense. And then I don't know if you saw his new campaign ad, but he's like the savior of the world. Just cut the gas.
Was that the one with the he's at the movie theaters going through the movies? But is that one?
No, that's his response to COVID.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting. He was saying he wasn't going to come out. You know, he's going to be the governor. And, you know, politics was going to wait and all this stuff. And then I come up on TV and all of a sudden he's immediately a candidate. He does not like to be criticized at all.
Right.
He's very reactive, which is why I think we're going to win this election. We were talking off the air, obviously, before I got on. But gas prices, utility costs, crime being up, you know, investigations at the state level, because traditionally incumbent has a big advantage. They're very hard to beat, but there's a confluence of events. You got a president with a 40% approval rating. I think, Lee, there's a confluence of events this year that we haven't seen in a long time.
Oh, I totally agree with that. We've been talking about this all morning long. I think there's this whole thing is all coming together at once, and even the folks who want to stay on the outside, who don't like the world of politics, don't follow news that closely, and there are a lot of them, and they do it for their own reasons. They don't have time, what have you. This is such a trying time economically, socially, the way, and with what's going on, even on a federal level with the war and all of this, and Biden being completely inept. It's all trickled down. This is a perfect storm, Bob. I do believe that this is a perfect storm, and all for all the bad reasons, but it's going to I think it will create sort of a rebirth. It has to, because I don't think it could go in the other direction again. I don't think we could go down this road another 4 years.
Well, people use the pendulum analogy, and I think that pendulum has swung so far to the left. We had an event the other night in Manchester, a really nice event, and there were probably over 200 people there. I wasn't getting crowds like that in October, November last time. It's only April.
Right.
And the other thing, Lee, is you make statements that are basically, I made a statement, I said, you know, we really need to get back to parents having a say in when, how, and what their kids are taught in school. And it got a standing ovation. Now, I'm happy it got a standing ovation, but think about what this world has come to. All I'm saying is parents should have a say in their kids' education, and that's viewed as a novel idea. I mean, it's incredible
incredible.
This country has gotten to.
Yeah. No, and again, you had you broke that down. I heard you talking about that the other day, and it was one of your best 3 minutes of you know what you had gotten into as far as the parents, the kids, you're talking about some other things as well, but the idea that somehow parents are being demonized because they want to be involved with their kids' education, I just can't understand. That's so anti what we're all about. It doesn't make any sense to me.
You know, I hate to talk about specific candidates, but Peter Lamage gives a great stump speech. He came, you know, from a country where there was communism, you know, and people that have emigrated into the U.S., Leora Levy, who was in Cuba,
right,
they have some very good analogies between what they went through and what's happening in America right now. It's scary when you think about it. And they're saying, we fled Cuba. We fled these countries to come to a free society. And you know, you guys better wake up because we're starting to see the same indications we saw where we came from.
Right. All right, let's go to Dan out in Old Lyme. Dan, good morning, pal. What's happening?
Hey, good morning, Dr. Lee and Governor Bob.
Hello, Dan. Good morning. Happy Friday.
You too. I got sort of like two questions. One, when you were talking about gas prices, I heat my home with oil. I just paid $610 for 127 gallons. That's like $2 more a gallon, which would be, of course, $250 more that I had to pay, probably for 6 weeks of oil in the winter. I sort of got a question. The Dems are always harping on affordable housing. I just noticed, since I paid, you know, $250 more, isn't heating your home, filling up your gas tank, paying for electricity, if it's a bigger chunk of your paycheck, doesn't that reduce your ability to pay for housing because you don't have the money because it's going to something else?
Great point. I've been making this point when I'm going across the state. Rent check is in a lot of cases no longer your biggest check, which is amazing.
Right.
Your utility bill in many cases is higher. So think about that. It's costing you more to heat. Assume your rent. It costs you more to heat your apartment than to pay to live there. I mean, that's what it's gotten to, which is crazy. And you know, one of the things we got to do is regulate these utility companies. I don't know who you have, Dan. Do you have Eversource?
Yeah. Well, for electricity,
These electricity companies, they're kind of quasi-public, and they get a guaranteed rate of return regardless of their performance. Why shouldn't we pay them based upon performance like everybody else in the world? So we got to look at that, and we got to get these utility costs down. It's really, really a problem. And to your point, you combine that with gas prices. Governor Lamont put a tax on prepared foods. You know, people are just really getting squeezed right now.
Oh, yeah, and another thing I think people don't realize, they think of property taxes just for homeowners. But the guy who owns your three-family house, the guy who owns your apartment building, they're paying property taxes. And when property taxes are high, and you would probably know, but we're one of the top, we got the highest in the, I think, second or third highest in the country. Doesn't that also make housing less affordable and increase your rent?
Yep. And you see it in towns like West Haven. We haven't talked about the fraud there, Lee, but
right.
And Waterbury, the mill rate in Waterbury right now, I believe, is over 60 mills. 60.
Right.
And in a lot of cases, the cities with the highest mill rate are the people, many of them are the people that can least afford to pay it. So we really got to do something. I mean, it is amazing to me that Governor Lamont's commercials are, everything's great, we got a budget surplus. Well, you know what? If there's a $3 billion budget surplus in Hartford, but people are paying $4.50 for gas and their utility bills are going up, people don't care that there's a big ton of money sitting up in Hartford. They want to feel it every day, and that's one of the things we're going to do. We're going to think about the people and not politics and get utility prices down and gas prices down and property taxes down and make it a little bit more affordable for people to get by. That's what people need. They don't need slick TV commercials. I'm sorry to get on a roll, but this latest one by Governor Lamont is ridiculous. You know what the gas tax cut that he gave away, the 25 cents is saving people? An average family. $2.50 a week.
Hmm.
He's got a $3 billion budget surplus, and he's giving people a cup of coffee a week. It's insulting, really, what he's
and doing. I got a feeling, too, by the way, Bob. We talked about this in the beginning. You know, you said, well, it's going to end in July. You watch. He'll do something because he'll know he'll have to. He'll do something through executive order or what have you to extend that some way, shape, or form. I just feel like that's coming. And he'll try to act like he's a knight in shining armor when it's, you know, the exact opposite.
You know, I'm sorry to get on a tangent, but it's a real hard one, Lee, right? If you're thinking about my re-election or my election chances, you kind of hope that he doesn't. But then, on the other hand, you got to do the right thing for the people of Connecticut. And I firmly, this will sound a little bit arrogant, but I firmly believe he reacts to what he says. When I came out on Monday morning at 9 o'clock and said he needs to get rid of the mask mandate, and at 3 o'clock that afternoon, he gets rid of it. He's listening.
Oh, yeah.
So in a way, you're forcing his hand. But by forcing his hand to do the right thing, I'm hurting my chances to get elected.
Well,
but you got to do the right thing for the people.
I think, though, people see through this stuff. I do. I think a lot of them see through it. Dan, I got to let you go, buddy, because I'm out of time. But thanks, pal. Have a great weekend. Have a great Easter. Real quick, Bob, before we do run out of time, there was one point I wanted to mention to you is that there's this narrative that somehow the one thing that Governor Lamont has done fantastically has been his response to COVID. I have in my hand a list of the top states, bottom states, as far as COVID readiness and preparedness, et cetera. And Connecticut is... I think, ninth from last. So they're 41st in the state overall COVID, the reaction to COVID. What do you say to that?
This is the problem with politics. He'll pick the metric that works best for him. And he did get our population vaccinated well. But as you see now, with most of the people who are getting COVID already have been vaccinated, you look at mental health, you look at the impact on the economy, you look at deaths in nursing homes. That's why the Wall Street Journal had a similar article. They gave Connecticut a D rating.
Right.
And this is a problem with politics. A lot of people will believe that TV ad that he's got out there. You look at a holistic view of how he's done, it hasn't been good. He put infected patients into nursing homes just like Governor Cuomo did.
Right. All right, let me grab one more quick one. Brian, we only got about 40 seconds, so you got to make your point real quick with the
real quick, Bob, I love you, and I love your message there, and I'm hoping that you're our next governor there. One of the things I'm going to ask, though, is that if you could possibly just spend some more time on the corruption and the lies that come out. I was the one who sent the message over to your wife about that that bogus ad that Lamont is running about his surplus there. We got to talk more about the fact that that surplus had nothing to do with him. Where did the surplus come from? Why do we have the surplus? Right. And, you know, if you could just spend some more time on that, I think that we got to make people understand that that's a complete lie. It's a fabrication. And that's where we're going to win.
I will, Brian. You know, surplus is our money. It's federal money that went to Connecticut. Well, but last time I checked, the federal money comes from our taxes as well.
Right.
You're exactly right.
All right. Sorry, Brian. I had to cut you short because we're out of time. But, Bob, do you guys got a theme song? We have a theme song for...
I imagine you have one.
No, I don't. I don't have one, but I'll find one for you. Like, if we
you know what I always like? My favorite movie in the world is Rocky.
Yeah.
I love that Rocky song.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it.
Like, which one? The Rocky 1, Rocky 2? Which Rocky?
You got a well, both of them are good, actually.
All right. We'll do that for you. How about that?
There you go. That's your clip.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend. I'll talk to you.
All right.
See you.
Bye.